I want to turn over to St. Mark in the 11th chapter and turn to a very familiar scripture that we refer to so many times because it's so outstanding. And see if I can say something to encourage your faith this morning. Every now and then I resort to faith. Now I talk to you about revelation because we need revelation. But I also, every once in a while, talk to you about faith because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And unless you can believe God for your salvation and believe God for your healing, unless you can believe God for your blessings as to meet your needs, then you can't please God. So then you must have faith in God. Jesus continually said, have faith in God. That was one of his favorite sayings, and he would say, fear not, only believe. And he would say to the people, he'd say, be not of a doubtful mind. Don't be of a doubtful mind. You know, people have a tendency to be of a doubtful mind. Don't be of a doubtful mind. You know, it just comes, somebody's just doing what comes naturally, Brother Pike. Well, if you do what comes naturally, you're going to be of a doubtful mind because you're just naturally born to doubt. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So you're going to find out that when you want to believe, a doubtful mind is going to be present with you. So don't be of a doubtful mind. Don't do that which comes naturally. Do that which comes spiritually. See, to be naturally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I preached on this the other night, and I emphasized that about the spiritual mind. I kept saying over and over, I said, now folks, to be spiritually minded is life. I said, to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Somebody said, well, that means, you know, if you have a car, you have a house, you have land. No, you can have two cars, you can have three cars, you can have three houses, you can have 5,000 acres of land, you can have $5 million. That don't have nothing to do with it. That's not being carnally minded. Carnally minded is you can have $10 or you might not have a dollar. But you can have your mind on lust. You can have your mind on houses. You can have your mind on money. One man can have $5 million and have that to work for God, or 15 vehicles and have that to work for God and be just as spiritual minded. Another man may not have nothing, and all he can think about is something in the world. He may be just as worldly minded as he can be. And if he is, he'll die and go to hell. I know people that don't have half enough. And all they can think about is when their husband is going to work and how he's going to pay the bills. And husband, don't you think you've been out long enough and maybe you ought to go to work in the morning? And I don't know what we're going to do, they'll say, you know. And God bless them for having a little bit of concern so they can get that lazy husband to do something outside of be lazy. Let's give the Lord a hand. Now, you thought I was going down the other trail, didn't you? All right. God bless that little woman. She helped that husband get straightened out. But, you know, there are some women that just about drive their husband crazy. He'd like to do something spiritual, but every time he thinks about taking a day off to do something for God, then she starts her regular routine. I was thinking this morning, I really thank the Lord for Brother Ron Pasden. Maybe sometimes you think that we say too much about Brother Jimmy, Brother Ron, and some of the other guys, you know. But I think about Brother Ron. He and his wife has invested so much in the work of the Lord financially, and I appreciate that. But that's not all that I appreciate him for. Some of the others invest financially, but he'll come out here. He's an executive. He's got an inter-office, and he's an executive on his job, a very important job. And he has to be there because other people can't work unless he's there. But he'll come out here and he'll get down in the mud like yesterday, digging down in the mud there, and he'll stay all night as maybe the night before or whatever. And he'll dig and he'll give and he'll work. And you come up, you'd never know he was an executive He'll just do anything, you know. It don't make no difference what it is. If it work, it'll work. And I mean, he'll work. And he's just a brother. He'll dispute with you. If you cross him up, he'll sharpen his sword and he'll dispute with you too. And I like that, you know. I like a fellow that's just a fellow. And he'll tell you how he feels about it. I think that's so wonderful. He's not hypocritical about it, you know. He don't try to hide and make you think one thing when he thinks another. He'll just tell you how he feels about it. So I think that's wonderful. And I like to see people that are willing to do something. Some of the guys, they're so that they can't dig a ditch. They can't help. They've always got a line in the street. They got a backache or a headache or they got some kind of something. I don't know. They married a wife or they bought a field or they done something. But nevertheless, I thank God that there are some that are willing to help and do something. But anyway, that wasn't our subject this morning, was it? Faith is supposed to be our subject. So we're going to talk a little bit from the book of St. Mark. If you've got your Bible, let's turn over to chapter 11 in the book of St. Mark. And I try not to take too long, but if you will, they use the term sometimes, give me your undivided attention. And don't be carnally minded this morning. You know, just be spiritually minded. And you can have all you want. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He gives you the power to get wealth. And he makes rich and add no sorrow. Don't let the devil beat on you because you've got a few blessings from God. Just put it to work for the Lord Jesus and go on enjoying what you've got. But don't be selfish and don't be greedy and to go hoarding things, because if you do, you're going to get in trouble. Honor the Lord with your substance, and the first fruits of your income, increase it is. And so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses be burst out with new wine, and you'll have your health. When you feed the poor and the orphans and the widows, and you invest in God to win souls, hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire, the Bible says your health will return unto you speedily. The reward of God will go before you, the light, and it'll just be wonderful. So then you can have your health and you can enjoy these things. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. The threefold blessing of God that I remind you of so often. But now I'm going to say this to you. And I'm just going to take a few minutes. So give me time to finish, because as I say so often, this goes on tape and it goes on film. And the people all around want films and tapes. And I talked to some of the prisoners yesterday. At least five different prisoners got on the phone talking to me yesterday, one right behind another. And they kept saying over and over, Brother Pike, we're so grateful to God. They said they were so thankful to get your tapes and your literature. Said, why? And they kept saying things like this. Said, we never knew that religion was like this. And said, we never knew that the world was in this kind of condition. Said, going through life, said, it never dawned on us. And said, we never heard anything like this. And so this has changed our whole life and our whole outlook. And said, we're glad that we got in here and got a hold of this. Said, it really has done something for us. And some are to get out in a month, some to get out in 2 months, some to get out in maybe a year, some 2 years and whatever. And I am of the opinion that God has suffered some of these things, you know, that these boys and girls could get in prison, that God might correlate, collect, and get these together, that he might develop, indoctrinate, and put them back out in the world, that he might save society as to the people and correct the church world before they all crash up. Because the preachers out there have gone slap out of their mind, and the churches have gone slap out of their mind, and they have incorporated so many worldly things until it's just pitiful. Because when you look around you and you think about the people that are incarcerated as to the ones in there, and then you think about those that are outside that's done as bad or sometimes 10 times worse than some of those that are imprisoned, then you realize that God has somehow or another suffered these others to be in this place, and he's got something going on. And these people are really taking to the ministry. I mean, I could tell as I talked to them that they was not kidding about this thing. And it wasn't just words with them. They really meant this from the bottom of their heart. And it had really gotten hold of them. So I thank God for that. I really praise the Lord. And they wouldn't even as much as let me pay for the telephone call. I told them, I said, look, fellas, let me pay for the telephone call. And the brother said, no, absolutely not. I will not. And he wouldn't, no matter how much I insist. Not looking for a handout. So it's just wonderful. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel even to the prisoners. And I think a lot of times I talk to those prisoners and I think how free those fellows are. And I come back and I talk to some people out here and I think, my, what prisoners these folks are. But let's read this. You give me a little time to talk to you and I promise you I won't hold you long. Now for the last few services, I've not helped you, but just as a matter of fact, I've helped you in such a short sermonette till my wife has called me, almost called me a Baptist. She said, I think you're getting like a Baptist preacher. But anyway, I've let you go, and I'll try my best not to hold you long this morning. But I would like to preach to you just a little bit, just talk to you a little bit about some things concerning faith. It won't take long. That ain't too bad to be a Baptist. John was a Baptist. And it's all right if you just learn about Jesus' name, remission for sin. All right, chapter 11. You know, John was a Baptist, but he learned about remission in Jesus' name. And he said, I baptize you under repentance, but believe on the name. And if all the Baptist preachers would just say, we baptize you under repentance, but after a while, Brother Pike and them other guys are going to come and they'd be baptized in Jesus' name, that'd be fine. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, chapter 11, it's in the book of Mark, reading from the first verse. It says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethany and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Now remember, some of you have been right there to the Mount of Olives. This should be real to you because you've been right there with me. And saith unto them, go your way in the village over against you, and as soon as you enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him. And if any man send to you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied to the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, why? What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto the Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves, and could not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught sin unto them, and is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of man? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said to Jesus, we cannot tell. Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. All right, folks, let's look at this one more time now. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, you cursed the fig tree. It's withered away, even from the roots. Trees don't die from the roots up. Remember that now. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, I want you to listen real close to this because I want to impress upon you faith in the Word of God. And I'd like to explain just a little bit. We always say, well, we know that, Brother Pike. We've heard that, Brother Pike. But you really don't know it. You've heard it, and yet you've not heard it, because I talk with some of you that know the Word so thoroughly, understand the Word so thoroughly, and when I get right down to basics and to principles, you don't understand the very word that I quoted to you and read to you, though I read it over, and you give me what you understand of it. And I see that you still did not fathom what the Lord Jesus said about it. And this is why faith does not work for you. So then he cursed the fig tree, and the tree withered away. See, look at the hundreds of thousands of millions of people, and faith is not working for them. But then on the other hand, there are people where faith is working. And they're getting all kind of blessings, and they're getting all kind of things, financially, physically, spiritually, whatever. Why is that? All of them have the same opportunity. The same God is Lord to all, as far as grace is concerned. At this time, the blood is on the seat of atonement. God being no respect to person, he said, what I say to one, I say to all. If he says, I am the Lord God that healeth thee, who then did he say that to? Did he not say that to all? Is he then respect a person? Somebody said, well, he said that to the people that are Christians. He did not say that to people that are Christians. Though the Bible does say that the bread is for the children, and that is for, as to the healing. And that is true. But wasn't it also said, as the woman said, I know, Lord, that the bread is for the children, but the dogs eat of the crumbs. And didn't, as we would say, the Gentiles, as to the dogs, one eating of the crumbs went away with the divine act of God as the healing came into her home? Wasn't it as to Cornelius that salvation also came to the Gentiles, who was called the dogs? So then, who then would God have healed? Or who then would God have saved? The Bible said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. It's not even the will of God, he says, that the wicked should perish, but that the wicked should repent and have everlasting life. So then, who would God have saved? That all men should come to repentance and be saved. Then who should be healed? That all should be healed. That God would have all men healed. For I am the Lord God that saith to one, that I say to all. All right, so then somebody says, as to them that are righteous, the Bible said righteousness is of God. There's none good but God. So then if there's none good but God, which good one are you going to heal? Which good one are you going to save? Because there's none good but God. And our goodness be of God, even the Pharisees and scribes and all of the Jews and all of them that kept all of the sayings of God and tried to do all the things that they did. Was they good? 3 million people that came out of Egypt or more? Was any of them good? And yet the Bible said there was not one feeble among them. Isn't that true? And then the Lord said to you and I, said, if you'll keep my commandments, you'll keep my ordinance, you'll do right before me, I will not bring upon you the plagues and all these evil things that I brought upon the Egyptians. And as to the Hebrew, that I will not permit these things to come upon you. Well, that is, I could say it like this. If you would do the things that I tell you to do, that you'd have faith, and your shield of faith would quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Your faith would keep these things from coming upon you. That's what it amounts to, faith by the hearing of what I've told you to do. If Eve had believed God, her faith would have kept the devil from putting that mind in her that killed her believing. Isn't that right? She would have been carnal minded. She would have died. The day that you eat it thereof, you become carnal minded and you die. And it isn't the fact that John made the statement. John said, if you do the things that please God, hereby you assure a heart, and then do the heart have faith? Or with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, you have confidence in your heart. Then you, when you ask of God, you believe in what you believe, then you get it. Isn't that right? And isn't it here Jesus said, if thou canst believe in thine heart and not doubt, ask what you will, you'll have it. So he said, and I won't bring these things upon you. While their feet didn't even swell, wasn't one feeble among them. All right. So then he said here, Peter, have faith in God. I did this by faith, he said. Say what you will, you can have it. Decree a thing in your heart, it will come to pass. What is he talking about? Decree a thing in your heart. Just determine in your heart it's going to be the way you said it. Decree in your heart that it's going to be like I said. Oh, somebody said, well, now that couldn't be. But let's look at the man that was impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb, never having walked. Paul was preaching, and all of a sudden Paul perceived that the man believed what he was preaching over at Lystra. And he perceived that the man believed what he said. And he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. He perceived that the man believed what he was saying so much that he had faith to be healed. He never said Jesus' name or nothing according to the scripture. He just looked at the man and screamed out in a loud voice and said, stand on your feet. And the man stood on his feet like that and was healed immediately. You understand what I'm saying? He decreed it in his heart. He just said it. And the man come up from there. Isn't that right? Peter did the very same thing at the gate called Beautiful. When he stood there, the man above 40 years old. The man was looking for an offering. Peter said, I don't have anything to give you like that. Said, but such as I do have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Put forth his hand, and the man come up from there and begin to shout and praise God. And the Bible says immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he went leaping and praising God. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look under the law. How that Joshua controlled the sun, controlled the moon. Look how they open up the Red Sea. And the Bible tells us to contend for that faith that they had back there. Look at the wonderful thing that the apostles did. What was it? It was faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. When he anointed the disciples and he told them to go out and heal, he said, in whatsoever city you go into, heal the sick there. Cast out the devils there. Cast out the demons and the unclean spirits. How many devils and demons have been cast out at Bethlehem? Boy, I tell you, we've had them come in here. It looked like the carloads. Looked like some of them come in here must have had a number of devils and demons. Took us a long time to get some of them straightened out here. But nevertheless, God got rid of the devils and demons, and we've got a good congregation now. How do you believe that? Sure, you know why you believe that? Because some of you had devils and demons. But nevertheless, see, God delivered you from it. God delivered you from it. Now, like the Bible said, fornicators, liars, cheat, all these kind of things, such were some of us until God delivered us. And now we're Christians. See, I'm trying to say, folks, we're not good because of what we've done, because of what God delivered or how God delivered us. We're good because he was good. And he delivered us. And because he delivered us, that made us good. That is good by his goodness. So then he saved us by his goodness. So when he healed us by his goodness. So then we know that salvation is to all by grace. Therefore we know that healing is to all by grace. Somebody said, yeah, but I got saved, but I ain't got the faith to be healed. Have you ever stopped to think that it might be shocking when you go to stand before God? You don't have faith to be healed, and there's a good possibility when you put it to the test to find out if you're saved that you might get there and he says, I'm sorry, you just been playing a game. You didn't have enough faith to be saved. What it is, you just go on the strength of the fact that you believe you got enough to be saved because it's never been put to the test to find out whether or not you're going to get through the gates. And it's been put to the test as to whether you're feeling good or ain't got no pain. Come on, folks. You need to get down to business. That's what you need to do. But see, I'm just saying, it's just that simple. See, let me take a few minutes and explain to you. Jesus said here, faith. See, did you know the prophet of old, as Jesus was healing, they brought all kind of people to him as the sun was going down. He healed their diseases. He done away with their infirmities. He cast out the devils. And the Bible said as he done this, he did all of them that way. He healed all of them. Everyone that came to him that would believe without respect to person. He did that. That it might be fulfilled that the prophet had spoken in the Old Testament saying that he took our infirmities. He bore our sickness. For he said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I am the God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. I am the Lord that takes your infirmities, as we would say. So to fulfill what the prophet had said. Now, he went to Calvary to do away with this. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I have abolished within my body death and done away with these afflictions and these kind of things. They said, Master or good master, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. They would say, you know, you could heal me. If you will. He said, I will that you be healed. And then somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I would be healed if it was God's will. And if it was God's will, then I wouldn't be sick. That's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. Say, well, you can't prove that. All right? Why does the wicked go to hell? Somebody would say, well, it's God's will for them to go to hell. Well, then the scriptures is all mixed up and the scriptures is broken. And if the scriptures is broken, then all of our faith is in vain. Because the Bible said the scriptures cannot be broken. And the Bible said it's not my will that even the wicked should perish. But all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. That God would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then why isn't the wicked saved? Because of their unbelief. Because they're not going to come and do the things that please God, that they may have a clear conscience. As John said, to believe in the mercies of God. As I said, you can't live next door to a man and kill his cat and kill his dog and slap his wife and knock his children's brains out and have any confidence that the man loves you and cares for you. You can't do that. But you can live next door to a neighbor and do something for a hungry child. Do something for a man when he don't have a car. Give him a car or share a little money or be kind to him and win his affection. And believe that he likes you or that he cares for you. So you do the things that please God. Then you know that God turns his favor towards you. Now Jesus has already done this in our behalf toward God to turn his favor toward us. Just submit and try to conform to God's desire. As to make an effort to accept these things that please the Lord. Then our faith goes up as into the righteousness of the Son of God. And then these things prevail for us and our faith. purifies the heart, and the Holy Spirit comes in just like that. That's why without faith, that is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says that the promises of God, all of them, are yea and amen. Paul said, we did not come to you preaching the gospel as yea and nay. He said, we come to you preaching the gospel, yea and amen. And the Bible said, all of the promises of God are without alteration, the same to every generation. And that the word of God is settled in heaven, unchanged, unaltered. And the Bible said, God will watch over his word to perform it. He will hasten to perform his word. And the Bible says that he that findeth the word of God, that this word of God is life to the individual that finds it, and that it is health to his flesh. It is health to his flesh. For the word of God is the power of God as to healing. For he sent his word and healed them. The word actually becomes spirit. He sent his word and healed them. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto healing. It's by his word that he spoke the world into existence. And when it comes to the will of God, Jesus was the will of God. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And I come to do thy will, O God. Or he was the manifested will of God. He was the Word. God was the Word. The Spirit made a human body. That was the manifested desire and will of God. Who went about doing good, saying the same to all men. Doing good to all men. Showing the love and compassion even to the extent of taking the blood out of his veins. Healing the cripple, giving sight to the blind, unstopping the deaf ears. See, because it was God's will. And when they would come and say, if thou will, Jesus was simply saying, it is God's will for you to be healed. I will that you be healed. I will that you be healed. So then when we say, God's will be done, we pray and say, hey, I'm sick. Lord, thy will be done. You know, we say, God, I want to be healed, but I want your will to be done. You know, if you don't want to heal me, you can't pray like that. That's wrong. That's unbelief. That's not right. That's a reproach to God. That's a mockery to God. You read God's word and see what God has to say about it, and then you go to praying like that. You can pray like this. Father, thy will be done. And then when you pray like that, you got to think like this. Father, thy will be done, which means thy will thy word be done. Father, thy healing be done. My salvation be here. My healing be here. Thy will be done. That is, I'm healed, Heavenly Father. I'm saved, Heavenly Father. Can't you just picture yourself getting down the altar and you say, Lord, I come to thee asking thee to forgive my sins. And if you don't want to save me, it's all right. Thy will be done. Just send me to hell. You don't pray like that, do you? No, you don't. You go there crying, saying, Heavenly Father, save me. You're merciful. You're compassionate. You died for me. I know that you won't refuse me because the word says, Father, I shall in no wise cast out him that cometh to me. And Lord, your word says it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then when God turns right to you and he says, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. I heal all of your diseases. I forgive all of thine iniquities. Now you say, I know that you forgive all of my iniquities. Lord, you save me. But he says, I heal all of your diseases. Then you say, if it's your will. See, pray, Father, thy will be done, which means you rejoice in it. Father, then thou hast healed me. Now, let's look at it like this. The Bible says that if we're going to get anything from God, we have to decree it in our heart. We have to say it and not doubt. Jesus said, if thou can say it and not doubt. Or he said, if we say anything, then we can't waver. See, you can't waver. If you say something and waver, you cannot have it. You cannot have it. If the devil can make you waver, you cannot have it. See, you cannot waver because God is a spirit. And you must make contact as to your inner spirit and your heart with God who is a spirit, and it locks in. When it locks in, then you've got it. See, now we've got an electrician in here. All right, this electrician will tell you that no matter how much power you got as to that transformer, no matter how much current it can come from EMC over here, which has a tremendous amount of power, they can run it out here on the line. You can have it out here. It can sit out here for 10 years. He can run it to this building right here. But if you have a dead receptacle, you're not going to get anything in it. First, you've got to have a living receptacle. And then when you run it to the switch, if that thing isn't connected right, as to when that switch is thrown, you'll never get any light. Though the power is there and it's freely given to you, as we say, it's already connected. Maybe the bill is already paid. Maybe the deposit is already put up. But folks, that isn't going to do any good. See, the switch has got to be thrown and the connection has got to be made. And when the connection is made, then you're going to get the power. You're going to get the light. And the whole room is going to be filled with light. And if you cook with gas, if you heat with gas, or whatever it might be as to the beauty of electricity, then you're going to have it. As to the electronics that you're going to get out of there, to whatever devices might be, as to TV or whatever, you're going to get it if you throw the switch, if you make the proper connection as to visions, as to hearing, or whatever it might be. He said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. A lot of times, you know, we get misput in things. Like, for instance, he said, if you continue to abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. So somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. I abide in the Lord myself. I abide in the Lord and his word abides in me. But you misunderstand. You know, the preacher preaches that to you and you take it that you know and you understand that. Well, you don't know and you don't understand that. Because when it says you abide in him, it means that every day of your life you're trying to live an overcoming life. You're trying to be holy. That you not only do that, but you pray. And that you fast. That's his way. That's abiding within his word. Because he tells even the minister that he should fast often. And that he should be gentle. That he should be patient. Apt to teach. That he should go into all the world and preach the gospel. That you've got a job and that you're to be about your father's business. And whatever you're to do every day, whether it's giving out literature, whether it's to be testifying, whether it's to go into all the world, whether it's to go to church, whether it's to be part as to the home front operation or whatever it is to take part with the brotherhood here and what they're doing or the sisters or whatever it is, then God is expecting you to abide in his word. Whatever the word has commissioned you to do or told you to do, then God expects you to go do it. That's abiding within his word. Not just saying I'm a Christian and doing something as to a testimony and these kind of things, but abiding within the word, going forth in the word and doing what God told you to do every day of your life. That's abiding in the word. And then letting the word richly abide in you as to meditate in his laws day and night, studying that word, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, studying to show yourself approved that you might be spiritually minded, that you might have faith in God. The next thing is ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You cannot ask in faith, nothing wavering, just because you determine in your heart that you're not going to waver. Just because you say, I'm going to believe, bless God, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe. You're not going to do anything. The devil will just turn you for a loop. That's not going to do it. You say, well, I'm going to go on a fast. Man, I fasted 20 days, 30 days. I believe, I believe, I believe. That isn't going to do it. You say, I pray all night. You pray two nights, three nights, five nights. That isn't going to do it. That's not going to do it. That is not going to make you steadfast and unwavering. That is not what's going to make you do that. Those things are good and that can strengthen your faith in God, but that isn't going to do it. Somebody says, well, I believe it will. Well, okay. You know, go do your thing. Go do your thing. But I say when you get through, you're going to find out they won't do it. But I'll tell you what will make you ask in faith, nothing wavering. It's when you Learn the Word of God. Learn the promises of God. Faith doesn't come by fasting. It doesn't come by prayer. It comes by hearing the Word of God. And you've got to know the Word of God, hear the Word of God, understand the Word of God to be able to believe the Word of God. And when you understand the Word of God, that is to the extent that you truthfully know, not just have heard it and convinced yourself in some service of where a preacher has preached that God wants you healed and that God is good to you and God wants you to be blessed, but and then go out and begin to wrestle with your thoughts again. Not that. But when you actually come to a knowledge as to a conviction and something enlightens you and turns on in your heart, and suddenly you see that thing to where you don't change, and you say, my God, God is precious, good and kind, and He actually is a state of being that is above me, in me, and through me, and all He is goodness to me, that there is no sickness in Him. There is no uncleanness in Him. There is no arrogancy about Him. There is no bitterness with God. There is no hurt toward me. That God, all that God wants me, He's like a springtime morning. He's like the sunshine without the heat. He is upon me as to blossom and to bloom and to bless me as the dew of the morning. That I might be the apple of His eye. That I might be blessed and be in health, even as my soul prospereth. God is with me for good. And God loveth me, and all that I do will prosper. And I'll abide in the house of the Lord forever. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He giveth me the desires of my heart. He maketh me to ride upon the high places of the earth. He maketh all of my beds in the time when the devil tries to make me sick. He makes me to ride upon the high places of the earth. He giveth me the power to get wealth. I'm like a tree planted by the water. My leaves will never wither. Whatever I do shall prosper. For the Lord is at my right hand that I should not be moved. He maketh mine enemies to be at peace with me. They come out against me one way. He'll make them to flee before me 7 ways. For the Lord is for me. And He hath given me all power over the powers of the enemy, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, which has conquered the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. I've got power over devils and demons, and they're afraid of me. And because of this, I take my faith in God. And my faith is this, is that I believe the Word. And the Word tells me that God loves me. And that God is for me, and that God is with me, and that I don't have to wonder if it's God's will to heal me. You know, though I stumble, though I stagger, though I might have made a mistake, though I didn't do like I ought to have done, but I do love You, Jesus, and I was trying to do right, and I wasn't trying to do wrong, and I did get distant, and I didn't pray like I ought to, and I didn't fast like I ought to, but I didn't go back out in the world and just throw myself away. You know, if you did go back out there, you need to repent of your sins and come and bawl like a baby, like the prodigal son, and say, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be called a servant, you know, to show God you're sorry. Then as the prodigal's father, He'll be putting the ring on your finger, the shoes on your feet as to His love. But folks, you can get chastened for those things. But when you stumble and stagger, when you're trying to do your best, say, Father, I realize, you know, that I've got problems. I've got sickness. I'm having a hindrance. But Heavenly Father, my problem is not of You. You don't tempt any man. Neither can You be tempted of any. You don't confront a man. You don't hinder a man in his cause. You don't pervert a man in his cause, Heavenly Father. I give place to these things by going in error. And in doing this, I've caused my heart to condemn me. I've caused my faith to fall. I've caused my shield to go down. And the devil is confronting me every way. He's hindering me. He's coming in on me. And in spite of all my trying to be religious and believe, He's just causing me to be frustrated in every way. Hinder my prosperity, my health, and whatever. And oh Lord, I'm going to line up. God, I'm getting these things out of the way. So my faith will go back up. Because God's waiting right there to bless you. And that middle wall of partition has separated between you and God. Because Jesus broke it down at Calvary. And you're the one that's giving place to it again. See, and God is trying his best to get to you. It's like a mother trying to get to her baby and it's fell down in a hole. And he's standing there weeping trying to get to you. You're to blame. You understand? All right. So then we learn that there are circumstances and problems and things that hinder God from getting to us. Paul said, I'll come unto you, but the devil hindered me. See, the Lord wants to bless you. You've got to come to the place to where you settle it once and for all in your heart that God has nothing to do with your sickness and nothing to do with your problem and nothing to do with your poverty. And when you do this, then you can ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because even though you'll have problems, see, you can get them out of the way because you know he's on your side. And the more you pray and the more you call on God, the more you're going to be strengthened by the thoughts of his love and concern, him trying to reach you. And now you draw nigh to him, you know he's going to draw nigh to you, the Bible said. See, so you've got that confidence in him and you're sure in your heart that you might have that confidence that whatever you ask, he heareth you. You know you've got that which you desire of him because he heareth you. As this day you ask to make your voice to be heard on high. You do this that your light may shine. Then your light comes forth and your health returns unto you speedily because you shared with others pure and undefiled religion. You cause your heart to believe. Do the things that please him. All right, so I'm saying then that to have steadfast, unmovable, unwavering faith, you have to understand the Word, understand who God is, what God is, the Word, he's the will, he's this in your life. And when you come to the place to fully believe, understand it, without wavering, without reasoning, to where you never waver, never again doubt, never again try to figure it out as the well in my case. It has nothing to do with your case. There's no such thing as your case or anybody else's case. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Somebody said, well now, Brother Pike, I do know. What if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost? So what? You're dead, you're done, you're gone, forget about it. That's the end of it. There's no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Don't worry about your faith. Don't worry about nothing else. You're gone. It's the end of it. I said, well, that's what always hinders me when I want to come to God and I think about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You know better than that. Usually it's a lie of the devil. You know whether or not you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If you've never spoken against the Holy Ghost, you hadn't blasphemed the Holy Ghost. One word spoken against him, not be forgiven in this world, the world to come. You need to get out of that rut. Stop that. You know what happens? Where the problem comes in is you get to feeling unclean. You get the feeling because you let the devil put so many dirty, filthy thoughts in your mind. Of everything from passions to I don't know what. And the reason for this is you won't pray. You won't fast. You won't listen to the Word of God. You won't study. You take up all your time thinking on the natural, buying and selling and laughing and talking and going and on your face and on your body until the devil just eats you like a worm. You don't try to be spiritual minded. And the devil just eats you up. How could you ever have faith in God? God can't be in a carnal mind of money and all those things. To be carnally minded is death. Faith can't work in that. You need to draw nigh to God to get spiritually minded. So then when you begin to think about being dirty, being filthy, you know, drawn away from God. What is that? That's devil thoughts. That's demon thought. And sure enough, that is devils and demons that's got between you and God. Somebody said, then you say, I'm possessed with the devil. No, you're oppressed by devils and demons. If you're born again, you couldn't be possessed. But because of your foolishness and lack of consecration to God, this is where you let problems come in and circumstances and things. Instead of getting down to business with God and saying, wait a minute, these devils ain't got no power over me. I'm playing around like some silly child. And get down there and shake them things off and say, look, Satan, you get out of here. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. take power and authority over him and rebuke him. And you start talking to God and get them dirty, filthy accusations away from you. And don't feel dirty and filthy. And don't feel slimy. And don't feel like you're cold and callous. And don't feel like you're worldly and all them other kind of things. Somebody said, well, ain't that the way you're supposed to feel? You feel humble and you feel like you're dirty and filthy. That ain't feeling humble. That's feeling foolish. So, well, how do you feel? Like the writer of the Old Testament said, he hath made me great. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He maketh mine enemies to be at peace with me. I know he favoreth me because my enemies don't triumph over me. He giveth me the desires of mine heart. I've taken thee from among the sheepcote. I've given thee a name like unto the great man of the earth. You witness of the power of God and the goodness of God and how that God has kept you. Decree a thing in your heart. Say it'll come to pass. Ask what you will. Say it in my name. All right. So then who are we? This is why preachers preach instead of teach and try to get faith over to you. We are of another world. I don't belong to this world. I'm not of this world. You're of this world. Jesus said, you're of this world, like the serpent that's on his belly. All of his labors for his belly. He hungers, he thirsts. He wants the things of this world. He'll never believe. But I'm not of this world. I'm passing through this era, just like you'd pass through one planet going to another. I'm passing through this flesh. I'm passing through this era. But I belong to another world, a great, mighty world, a world of spirits and a world of power, a world of gods. And I'm passing through this world as to a training. Said, but I don't belong to this world. I've never belonged to this world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. This was given to me and God before the world ever was. He said, Job, where was you? Even before the world ever was, when the sons of God leaped for joy. So then you're of the world. I'm not of the world. And I speak to them that be of the world. So you'll never be to where you don't waver. Never. I don't care how much you fast. I've seen people fast 30, 40 days. Faith wasn't more steadfast than it was to start with. That has nothing to do with it. I've seen people go on a 20, 21 day fast and come off of it, and the devil will hook them just like that, and they run off with somebody else's wife or somebody's daughter or somebody's husband or whatever. Immediately. Be just as dirty and filthy as they could be, and then turn into a drunkard. That has nothing to do with it. Go out in the woods and pray for days. Come right back. It has nothing to do with it. But when you come to know the word, then you mix prayer and fasting, then that's good. That's good. So then I say to you, the only way that you're ever going to be able to ask in faith, nothing wavering, is when you come to the word of God to know, to understand, and realize. Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, all them things I've known for years. You're lying. You don't know them. If you did know them, you'd be putting it to the test, and all of these things wouldn't be like that with you, and you'd have all these things that you're wanting, and you don't have them. I live with you every day. See, so you don't know them. You don't believe them. You just hear it. It goes in one ear and out the other. But folks, when you really come to where you walk every day and something enlightens you and something dawns on the inside, see, God's word don't need to be propped up. As I said, you don't go through life saying, well, I keep on till I convince myself. I know for 10 years I asked him and it didn't happen. You know, but we're the faithful ones. We know it ain't going to happen. It didn't happen. You know, but we're the faithful ones. We just keep on, keep on. You know, and when we die and we get over there, God's going to reward us because we was faithful and we kept believing even though he never would do it. Don't you know that is a slimy way of approach? That's that old slimy mind of the devil. God's word is not altered. It's not changed. It's the same to every generation. It works that quick. That quick. I have seen it work. I put it to the test and been present when it worked that quick. Numbers of times. I mean in a miracle that quick. More than one time. A miracle. I could see it was a miracle. And Like I told Betty even this morning, I said, Betty, for God's sake, don't never frustrate the grace of God just because we have a pain or we have misery or something happened. I said, don't never do such a foolish thing. Never. Because God's word is accurate. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's right there all the time. There's no slimy approach to it. You don't have to prop it up. It works perfect. And if you folks was following it, if you folks was walking in the light, if you folks was knew it and was doing it, it'd work in your life every time right to the T. The Bible said, everyone that asketh receiveth. And that means ask according to the word. And ask in understanding the word. When you understand the word, then you can believe the word. If you don't understand the word, you can't believe the word. You know, these things I'm telling you is what makes it work. All right. So it's like I was telling her again this morning. I said, Betty, I've learned in my lifetime that you can be in pain and you can be in misery and everything can be wearied and the nerves can be broken all to pieces. And still, there's so much joy and jubilance in the inner person with God and His Spirit that the whole world seems bright and like the birds are singing. But you can be whole and healthy and everything perfect in your finance and your body and whatever. And if you don't understand and know this wonderful God as the way that I understand and know Him, the world is a depressing place like a mud hole for a hog to waller in. Ain't nothing happy about it. Nothing there to rejoice over. I eased off this morning. I guess maybe I took advantage. Maybe you didn't eat. I usually don't eat in the morning, but I was up about 4 o'clock. I want to help you folks. And these things I'm telling you, I still needed to say a few more things. But about 15 minutes ago, just as I was going to get into some things, that old serpent began to rise up. He's among you. And he began to rise up, on his old belly. And just when I get to where I'm fixing to bring something home to really fix this thing to where you can get the benefit of faith, he always does it. And I know we feel like everything's fine to the Pike, these good folks and whatever. But it's like a brother that come to me the other day and said, Brother Pike, they ain't all good there. I said, I know it. I fight those devils in there. He said, even some of them that's called brothers is going to see my wife. And things ain't right between them. Bad things going on. I said, my wife, Brother Pike. I said, I know it. They come and sit in my audience. And they say, Brother Pike, sisters. But the devils are still sitting there. That's bad, ain't it, folks? Your daughters, sons, there's people sitting in here that's defiled men's wives. They're still doing it. They're sitting in here right now. Right now, I have to tolerate it, put up with it, tolerate it. Some men, you know what they do? They blow their brains out with a gun. Instead of tolerating it as a preacher here, they literally blow their brains out with a gun. But I have to tolerate it. Go on to show mercy. You couldn't imagine if I brought it down and brought them to the altar and called them out. Well, you don't know. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Sometimes it's a murderer sitting here. I've had things to happen here. But I try to go along. But still, that old serpent has got to get, he's on his belly. He's got to get to the cafe, you know. That's regularity. All right. But that's your business, you know. You're the one that's giving strength to them kind of people. And you're the one that's keeping them going. And you're an accessory after the fact. Because you work with them when I'm trying to get the children out of danger. Trying to help them. Trying to instill faith with them and do what the Heavenly Father's told me to do. But with the regularity, you do me that way. That's why, as Sister Betty said, sometimes I get like a Baptist preacher. I say a few words and I let you go. I just let you do what you want to. Keep on, you know, and I'll sail this over here and get rid of that over there and give you a few words of exhortation and let you go and go over yonder and preach to the heathen like Brother Branham said, go west, your people ain't going to feed. You don't have to while the ministers just wore out with it. He says, let them go. Let them go, you know. Like God said to Balaam, don't do this, Balaam, and don't do that, Balaam, and please don't do this. Balaam went right on. He wanted that money, and he wanted that job, and he wanted that prestige and business and what all we call it in our day. And finally, God said, go on, Balaam. The angel dropped down there with that sword and stood there. The man got so beside himself, he was arguing with a donkey and didn't have enough sense to know the donkey was talking. And the angel told him, said, Balaam said, if it hadn't been for God, I'd have took your head off. You know, like I said, it don't matter to me if you're in a hurry to go, when we come together. I don't want you to be like that. I'd rather you wouldn't be like that. Because I'd like to try to teach you, help you, share faith with you. There's millions of people waiting, begging for a crown. And I'm fixing to go back into the mission fields anyway to reach some of them. And it's not going to bother me, you know, if you want to do that. You just do whatever you want to do. But it's bad for you because when I leave off with it, you're going to drift and you're going to go back out there. I see some of you here, and I know why you're here. I tell my wife, I'll say, that person ain't right with God, Betty. I say, I know they're real religiously fervent, and they're real zealous. I say, but they're not right with the Lord. And I was telling her about one a few days ago. She come back to me in the last day or two. She said, you remember what you said about him? Said, it was that way. Said, it worked out that way. Said, it showed up. And another one that we spoke about to the brethren a few days ago, it worked out that way. Went right on back out, drinking, going on, cursing, doing all this kind of thing. Just as religious and fervent as he could be. Looked like he's just perfect with us. But I told him, I said, I really appreciate the man's efforts, his doings, hoping he can get established. I said, but he hasn't never got the Spirit of the Lord. I said, he's just got a real zeal and got fascinated. And folks, this is what you don't want to do. That's why I say, you know, most of the time when you have people in your audience, especially people with a religious background where they've been in church for years, they just kind of got what you call gospel hardened. And they've been in religion for years, and sometimes even been active in religion. But they really don't have anything. They're just real religious. And they've never really been born again. They've never really got the Spirit. And it makes it bad. All of a sudden, it just like that, they're gone. And I hate that. I don't want to see that because I love you. And even if you should do me wrong, I wouldn't want to see that because I don't want to see anybody go into the lake of fire. I love to see people reproved, and I love to see people corrected. I think they should be reproved, and I think they should be corrected. But I don't like to see people go to hell to never get out of the flames. The Bible said where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not and that you're in everlasting flames. And one writer said eternal flames. I don't want to see that. There's people there right now that's been there all these many years. They've been there. And I don't want to see that. But there's nothing I can do about it. You know, the end is coming. It's coming fast. And there's nothing I can do about it. I could mention quite a number of things that's happened in the last little bit. But I don't know that it would mean anything to you. Unless you're spiritual minded, unless you listen and you stay spiritual minded, or you are trying to think spiritually, it isn't going to mean anything to you. The Bible said the things of God are foolishness to a natural mind or a natural man. They're spiritually discerned. They're foolishness. They don't even make sense. They're just plain foolishness. Just something to laugh at or make a joke out of. Unless you're spiritual. God has made it like that to hide them from the mind of the so-called wise and prudent. And made them revelation unto babes, such as are willing to learn.
All right, let's stand together. I didn't finish saying what I wanted to say. I had a number of things I wanted to say, but in that we didn't get to say them, I trust that we said a few things that might be encouraging to you and to those that hear them on tape, maybe to encourage their faith. Let's sing this little chorus together. That wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Sing it with me now.
They that wait upon the Lord shall they shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord.
Time together.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Sing, I love him.
I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and we're trusting in the word divine. For every
every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in that word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Let's sing this little chorus. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the still of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.
Sing it with me.
Precious memories, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of God's midnight, sacred past unfold.
You love the Lord? Sing another chorus or two before we dismiss.
With mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with our friend at the old country church.
And our Sundays were spent with our friend at the old country church.
Their precious years,
our memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. How I wish that today all the people would pray in that old country church. If they'd only confess, Jesus surely would bless, as he did in that old country church. Precious years of memory, oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church, ringing in the sheaves, ringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Let's just lift our hands together. Sing this, of course. And time shall be no more, no more. Time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Don't you just love Jesus while you got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up? How good it is to be a Christian. Just to love Jesus. To come together to worship Him and praise Him in song. To tell Him how much you care. So often we come together just to worship the Lord. I sing this little chorus. Go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him, with Him all the way. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me,
will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with him, all the way. Will he far away? Stood an old rugged cross. It's the emblem of suffering and shame. It was there on that cross Jesus suffered and he died, just to pardon and to sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my truth is at last I lay down, and I'll cling to the old rugged cross to exchange it someday for a crown. Can we sing this little chorus together? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Once again now, and we will praise him, we will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away. Once again together, I'm going to call Brother Ron Clyde to dismiss us. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give